Now let's come to order, folks. It's town hall tonight.
An hour of smiles in town hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Sal Hepatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian, Fred Allen. Music with Peter Van Steven. New songs, new laughs. It's Town Hall tonight. Well, sir, the Town Hall opens once again for our weekly meeting, folks.
Yeah.
Peter raises his baton, and the overture is This Night. Gentlemen, tonight we observe Washington's birthday by telling the truth. Instead of introducing that lovable character, as I call him every other Wednesday night, tonight I'll tell the truth. Here he comes, that so-and-so hatchet puss, Fred Allen, in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The only thing that fits the day, Harry, was the hatchet.
Oh.
The Dick Whittington was the push. You know, you've all mixed up Washington and Whittington too. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I too am telling the truth. Now, these first five jokes here don't look so good, which brings us lickety-split into the latest news of the week. The town hall news sees nothing, shows nothing. Say, at least it's holding its own. What delayed that fanfare? If they're coming in over the B&O, let us get some other arrangements if the fanfares aren't here. New York City, New York. Art lovers in New York City and Brooklyn are starting a movement to rid the city's subway of its present ugly appearance and make the underground station a sunken thing of beauty. Public Use of Art Committee recommends that subway walls be adorned with beautiful murals and replicas of old masters. Town Hall News questions subway patrons to get popular opinion. Renfrew Dobb, Greenwich Village artist, says...
Well, what do you say, Mr. Dobb?
What's the question?
Well, I just gave you the question.
Oh, I heard you talking. I thought you was panhandling.
Not only do you need glasses, but you should listen, Mr. Dobb. Now, the question is, should the New York subways be decorated with murals and works of art?
That's your question?
Yes.
Okay, here's your answer. Okay. I say, leave the subways alone.
What sort of artwork do you do?
I draw hair, mostly.
Oh, you're a toupee visionary?
Nah, I draw hair in the subway.
Oh.
Yeah, I put mustaches on guys in them toothpaste ads.
Oh, yes, yes.
Sideburns on them dames showing lingerie.
Oh, yes, yes. I've seen any amount of your work about.
Hey, you been up by 96th Street lately, mister?
No, I haven't.
I put a goatee on Dorothy L'Amour on the uptown side. Holy God.
I can imagine. And you feel, then, that posters should be left in the subway.
Yeah, I can't put no whiskers on them oil paintings.
No?
Nah, I tried putting a beard on Whistler's mother at the museum.
How did you come out?
At the end of 30 days.
Altogether too soon, and thank you, Mr. Dahl. Next, Mrs. Sadie Tremaine. Now, what is your opinion on the subway art question, Mrs. Tremaine?
I am a lover of the arts.
Really?
My first husband's name was Art.
Yeah.
My second cousin is enjoying artifacts.
Yeah.
And I personally am having arthritis.
No, but after all...
And then this time I am catching an opportunity. I am dropping into an artery.
Very, very interesting. I often step into an artery myself. But do you think the... It doesn't do me any good, I might add. But do you think the subway should have murals?
Murals is a cigarette, silly Billy. Paintings, I'm saying.
Oh, I see. Excuse me. Well, have you any suggestions as to the type of paintings, Mrs. Tremaine?
I am suggesting that paintings should fit the personality of the subway station.
Oh, you mean the idiosyncrasy of the individual subterranean sanctuary should be considered.
Gunniff, the words you're taking out of my mouth.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't...
So I'm continuing.
Very well.
For a certain subway station could be a Venetian painting with gondolas gondolaling.
Oh. Sporting, as it were, on the wall. And what station should have this Venetian scene?
Canal Street, of course.
That is very good.
I'm saying, so he's taking the credit of democracy?
Well, what other paintings have you in mind, Mrs. T?
A lifelike picture of Queen Isabella, I'm hinting, should be on 59th Street.
Isabella at 59th Street? Why?
Why not? She's keeping Columbus going in a circle. Catching on?
I'm catching on by the very fingertips.
So now I'm going.
Oh, you busy little art lover. Off to see another picture, I suppose.
What else? I'm catching the Ritz brothers and Three Mosquitoes.
Well, buzz off, and thank you, Mrs. Tremaine. Mr. Tomtit Cassidy, a frequent subway patron, is against murals.
Nobody's got no time to look at no art and no subway.
No?
No.
That is not the end of the conversation by any chance. Is it my turn?
If there's going to be any more, you'll have to talk.
All right. I hate to stir you from this lazy moment of inertia you're going through. But you, as a frequent subway rider, where do you ride mostly, Mr. Cassidy?
Well, every night during the rush hour, I go from Times Square to Borough Hall.
What happens?
The minute I get in the subway, piff, I'm jammed in the train. Bing, me derbies pull down over my ears. Bang, I'm thrown out. It's Borough Hall.
Every time?
It's Borough Hall.
Well, how long has this been going on, Mr. Cassidy?
For 10 years, bud. I ain't seen nothing in the subway but Adam's apples and Borough Hall.
Condolences, and thank you, Mr. Tomtit Cassidy. Town Hall News now shows what the subway patron can expect in the near future if museum forces win their battle and the subway is filled with works of art. The scene, a patron enters the 33rd Street subway station during a love.
I have a chance, sister.
Here you are.
Thanks. Did you take out the nickel?
No, drop it in the turnstile.
The turnstile? Oh, I get it in here.
Welcome to 33rd Street, sir. Your guide reporting.
Oh, I know the way, mister. I'm going to Flatbush.
You're just in time for a tour of the Independent Subway's mural and art exhibit.
Art exhibit? Ain't no trains run?
Oh, yes, but the subway is also an art gallery today. The tour is just starting. Follow me, please.
Oh, no, thanks. I'm just going to Flatbush.
Why not arrive at Flatbush an art lover, sir? This way, please.
No, I don't want to... Okay, come on, now. Let go of my car.
I hate to use force,
hey,
sir.
Hey, quit dragging me, yo.
Stop struggling, bum. On your right, this delightful mural is called Revolt of the Vitamins.
Hey, let me go. That's my friend coming. Hey, let me go.
Quiet, bum. Look at this portrait atop the weighing machine.
Hey, get your hand out of my collar, will you?
Now, here is a beautiful fresco.
Hey, let me go. That's my train, a flatboy.
Your tour will be finished in just a moment.
Ah, oh, there she comes. I missed it.
Now, on this ash can pedestal, we will have a bust next week.
Not next week, brother. You're getting a bust right now. Ooh. Making me look at art. Ain't I got trouble enough going to Flatbush?
New York City, New York. Income received by a former judge of a 20-year period is alleged to total more than $1 million. Of this total, $250,000 came from his salary as judge. Town Hall News questions prominent mathematician to explain this strange prank of income figures, introducing Humboldt Tally.
You are an uncertified public accountant, Mr. Tally.
So help me.
Well, how is it possible for a judge to end up with four times as much money as his 20-year salary amounts to?
It only proves what a judge can do if he tries.
Thank you.
San Francisco, California. San Francisco's Golden Gate Fair opened on Saturday last. Gala crowd of 100,000 votes California pageant. A glittering spectacle. Town Hall News shows word of Golden Gate Fair's opening being received here in New York City. The scene, Grover Whalen's office.
Mr. Whalen, the San Francisco Fair is open.
And now the Merrimacks, ladies and gentlemen. Their song tonight glorifies fatigue. It's called Too Tired.
Too tired to wash the dishes, too tired. Too tired to feed the fishes, too tired. Let's go see a show, won't that be nice? Yes, no, where we go is Mumsy's hot seat, hot seat. Too tired to make a little candy, too tired.
Hotsy, totsy,
too tired to make a little candy, too tired. I think that fudge is dandy, too tired. You love me and I love you, cause there's nothing left to do, then maybe I'll get sleepy too. Too tired, too tired. Too tired.
Now, with 1939 well on its way, wouldn't this be a good time to take inventory, check up on your yachts and your polo ponies? Do they exceed your actual requirements? And your old masters, you may find that your collection of Rembrandts is getting a little out of hand and needs pruning.
Fred, look, don't you think you're being a little impractical here?
In what way, my good man?
Well, most of us are just everyday people with no more yachts or polo ponies than we need, you know.
Odd, I never thought of it that way, Harry. Oh, I guess I'm just a dreamer. But don't you think the inventory idea is basically sound?
Oh, yes, I certainly do, Fred. But I think it should be a sort of personal inventory, you know, of our appearance. And especially of our smiles. Since a smile can make or mar our attractiveness. Take inventory tonight, ladies and gentlemen, when you look in the mirror. Then remember this. For a smile you can be really proud of, massage your gums regularly with Ipana toothpaste. Because Ipana is especially made when used with massage to help give gums the toning and exercise they need but fail to get from creamy, well-cooked foods. And when gums are soft and tender, teeth are seldom bright and sparkling. That is why so many dentists advise this easy modern routine.
Every time you brush your teeth with Ipana toothpaste, put a little extra Ipana on your fingertip or toothbrush and massage it on your gums.
And, ladies and gentlemen, the very first time you use Ipana, you do notice a remarkable and unique difference. A new tingle and exhilaration to your whole mouth. For when you massage with Ipana, you can actually feel its stimulating effect upon your gum tissues, as lazy gums start to waken and circulation speeds up. And that helps bring greater health to your gums, and consequently more radiance to your smile. Prove this to yourself by stopping at any drugstore tomorrow for an economical tube of Ipana toothpaste, and use it. Your friends will remember your smile if you remember Ipana.
Peter, a comb, will you, Harry?
Yes.
Peter Van Steeden and his Ipana musical kiddies have just played the toy trumpet. Imagine guys that big playing with trumpets. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I know you didn't expect to meet.
Is it anyone I know, Fred?
Oh, I hardly think so, Harry. Our guest tonight is bent on putting you and me out of business.
You're not interviewing the sponsor, Fred.
No. Not quite yet, Harry. This gentleman... Unless he's here in another suit. This gentleman I have in mind is going to put us out of business the hard way. He is part of that great new industry that's preparing to swoop down on radio. To wit, television. And the minute people can see what they've been hearing, Harry, that is the end of us.
Yeah. Say, maybe you ought to get your face lifted for television, huh, Fred?
No, I think I'll get my face lowered, Harry. Lord. If people can only see my hair on their television set, you know, like that. If they can only see my hair, they'll think I'm a little boy. And they'll keep tuning in, waiting for me to grow up so they can get a good look at me. And that will fix
that. Yeah. Well, when is this television magnate going to start putting on his show?
Oh, our guest isn't a magnate, Harry, but he does help to make the magnets possible. He's employed in a television laboratory as a glass blower. His job is to make the delicate glass tubes and equipment used in television transmitters. And there are only a handful of men in this country today who boast similar glass-blowing skill and technique. And so, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I know you didn't expect to meet Mr. Carl Schumann. Good evening, Mr. Schumann.
Good evening, Fred.
Now, I know that your breath is a vital asset in your work, Mr. Schumann. If you want to just give me short answers to conserve your wind outgoing, I'll understand.
Thank you, Fred.
Now, how long have you been a glass blower, if I'm not too brittle and personal?
17 years.
And what made you decide to choose this odd calling? Did you work your way up from a bubble pipe hobby?
No. The little town where I was born in Europe is a glass center. I started in the business as a boy.
And how long have you been puffing the transparent silica in this country?
10 years. I've had my present position in the Philco Laboratories in Philadelphia for 6 years.
What sort of glass gadgets do you exhale for Philco?
vacuum pumps, iconoscope tubes, and other television essentials.
Well, something tells me that your job requires more than just a robust set of lungs.
Yes, indeed, Fred. The glass blower in this field has to know chemistry and physics.
He is a highly skilled artisan. But how about an ordinary glass blower?
You mean how he goes about his work?
Yes, let's say a fellow's going to blow a fishbowl. Now, what does he do? Does he take the measurements of some water, a small grotto, and a goldfish?
No. First of all, he has a pot of molten glass.
Yes.
Then he takes a long tube, inserts it into the pot, and collects a lump at the end.
Now it looks like Jack Benny. Mr. Benny also has a lump at one end. Well, now what happens?
The blower blows through the tube, and the mass at the end swells out into a globe.
But how does he shape the globe into a fishbowl? He doesn't just close his eyes and keep puffing in round gusts, hoping for the best, does he?
No. He keeps turning and swinging the tube to shape the globe.
And it always comes out a fishbowl, Mr. Schumann?
Unless he's blowing a vase, yes.
Oh, of course, that would make a difference. You know, I read about some company that tried to open a glassworks in a little town in Scotland, but they finally had to give it up. The only men they could get to blow the glass there were old bagpipe players. And everything the old Scottish bagpipe players blew came out shaped like Annie Laurie. But it's hard to realize that when glass is melted, it becomes flexible. What does the molten liquid look like, Mr. Schumann?
It isn't a liquid, Fred.
No.
The glass is colorless and has the consistency of tar or very thick molasses.
Oh, and how hot is it?
The temperature varies. Different kinds of glass have different melting points. They range from 700 to 1200 degrees Fahrenheit.
Say, that's 2 degrees hotter than Tommy Dorsey's brass section. Now, what would happen if a glassblower forgot himself and inhaled?
There wouldn't be much left of him internally, Fred.
No, I guess he'd have his glastronomic troubles, wouldn't he? But tell me, Mr. Schumann, how does your work differ from that of the ordinary or the fishbowl artisan?
Well, for one thing, I have to be more precise. If an engineer gives me a sketch of a television tube...
You have to execute it to the exact dimensions or his experiment will be ruined, huh?
Exactly.
With the precision and labor involved, your finished products must be quite expensive.
Yes. Some of them sell as high as $400.
I blew a week in vaudeville one time that cost me $200. But of course, that's chicken feed and your game, Mr. Schumann. Tell me, do you do all of your delicate glass bending with your breath?
No. Some of it is done by hand. I heat the glass over the flame and twist it into shape required.
You pick up glass that's heated up to 1200 degrees Fahrenheit?
Yes. Glass is a poor conductor of heat, Fred. The end in the flame can be white hot, and the end I'm holding stone cold.
Like an Eskimo getting a hot foot, huh? He's burning at one end and frostbitten at the other. But I... Wait a minute. I'll see if there's anybody in here, Mr. Schumann. I have my... I just wanted to make sure I didn't hear anything. I thought maybe you and I were alone. But I digress, Mr. Schumann. Tell me, are there many glass blowers working today?
Quite a few.
But hasn't the increased use of machinery deprived many of their jobs?
Yes, but certain kinds of glassware can only be made by hand, such as thermometers, hydrometers, and other delicate instruments.
Well, tell me, do you ever do any freelance glasswork in your spare time? Do you ever go home after a hard day at the pipe and sigh out an inkwell or a few glass eyes just for the fun of it?
Well, at Christmas time, I did make a few presents for some friends.
Well, your talent certainly comes in handy. All I'm ever able to blow for a friend is a hot cup of coffee if he's got the coffee. But before you return to your cathode haven, Mr. Schumann, just one more question.
What is it, Fred?
How soon do you think television will actually be on the market?
I can't say when it will be in general use, but next May we are putting television sets on sale in 4 large cities.
Well, I'm not really worried. By the time you fellas actually get television going, I'll probably be getting the comedian's old age security. 30 jokes a month from Washington. Well, thank you a lot for this little peek into your interesting and transparent profession.
Thank you, Fred.
And I shan't detain you any longer, Mr. Schumann. I know how it is in your business. When you've got to blow, you've got to blow.
Good night.
Good night, and thank you again, Mr. Carl Schumann. Thank you. And now the town hall singers, ladies and gentlemen, under the ever-so-dulcet direction of Lynn Murray, the girls and boys sing, Ezekiel Saw the Wheel, So the Pharaoh Game Was Off.
Ezekiel saw the wheel way up the middle of the air. Ezekiel saw the wheel way in the middle of the air. And a little wheel run by faith, and a big wheel run by grace of God. There's a wheel in a wheel, way in the middle of the air. Some got a church by sing and shout, way in the middle of the air. Before 6 months they all turned out, way in the middle of the air. Ezekiel saw the wheel, way up in the middle of the air. Ezekiel saw the wheel, way in the middle of the air. And a little wheel run by faith, and a big wheel run by grace of God. There's a wheel in a wheel, way in the middle of the air.
Let me tell you what a hypocrite will do.
Way in the middle of the air.
He'll talk about me and he'll talk about you.
Way in the middle of the air.
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
Way in the middle of the air.
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
Way up in the middle of the air.
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
Way in the middle of the air.
Ezekiel saw the wheel
way up in the middle of the air. Wheel run by faith, faith will run by grace of God.
The wheel in a wheel way in the middle of the air.
One of these days, about 12 o'clock,
way in the middle of the air.
And this whole world's gonna reel and rock,
way in the middle of the air.
Shame on all your sinners.
You hear, Harry, did you hear that wheel lover applaud in the middle of the song? Couldn't just wait. And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I take this opportunity, order, please. Now, we'll have none of that in here. Not in here. And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I take this opportunity to say, with the greatest passion and conviction...
Please, will somebody close that door?
Never in the course of my career have I been more deeply moved to say...
Will somebody close that door?
Say, what goes on here? Hey, you over by the exit there. Now, what is your trouble?
Ah, some guy left that door open. Knowing from experience that I wouldn't miss nothing, I sort of dozed off when the program started. And the next thing I know, I'm sitting here in a draft that's like to blow your hat off. And I wakes up with another one.
Another what? Another hat?
No, another cold.
Oh, another cold.
And brother, when I get a cold, I keep it. Sometimes for weeks.
Well, my friend, it's a good thing you spoke up. Unless, of course, you'd like to keep that cold for a souvenir. Because we have just the right man here who can tell you what to do at the very first sign of a cold. Will you, Harry?
Yes, gladly, Fred. At the very first sign of a cold, get after it immediately with the double help of sal hepatica. And ladies and gentlemen, I sincerely hope every one of you with the slightest indication of a cold will listen carefully to these few words. So many physicians agree that an intelligent way to get after a cold is to do two fundamental things at its very beginning. Remove accumulated wastes and help nature counteract the excess acidity that so often accompanies a cold. And sal hepatica is especially made to do both of these things. And do them promptly.
As a laxative, sal hepatica is quick yet gentle. And speed is mighty important in getting after a cold. At the same time, sal hepatica also helps nature counteract excess acidity.
So rely on the famous double help of sal hepatica. Get an economical bottle at any drugstore tomorrow. Then, whenever anyone in your family starts sniffling or sneezing, show them this modern, pleasant way to get after a cold. With sparkling sal hepatica.
gentlemen, Town Hall tonight will continue immediately following a brief pause for your station identification.
While your local announcer takes his seat, ladies and gentlemen, and prepares to rise again on the hour, we return you to the Old Town Hall. Now, on Thursday night, the daughters of the sons of the men whose fathers knew Major Bowes will meet here at the Town Hall. On Tuesday next...
Hello, Mr. Allen.
Well, Portland. I must say you look like $1 million tonight, Portland.
Have you ever seen $1 million?
No. That's the idea. You look like something I've never seen before.
Oh, I'd hate to look like what Jack Benny said you looked like.
Oh, old Fibber McBenny, huh? Is he in again?
Didn't you hear Jack Sunday night?
No, I had a headache. Something I ate, they beat Benny to it. I don't need bait in the sentence to catch Benny, too. I have.
I thought you were going to quit insulting Jack.
What else can I do? He refuses to fight. Is that guy all wet? When Benny lays down, you can't tell him from the Gulf Stream. Benny with that cat hair toupee.
Oh, how do you know it's cat hair?
How do I know? Every time a dog passes Benny, his hat jumps off and his hair comes a pompadour. Why, excuse me. My rubber heels are started in again. Radio for you. A heel is always sure of a head. You know, I just read in the Hollywood Reporter, Portland, that Benny's wearing tights in his next picture.
Gosh, I bet Jack will be swell in tights.
In tights. He'll look like the Bone Ranger. Hi-ho, Sliver. I'd rather see Mr. Moto in long underwear.
Well, Jack said he expects to get an Academy Award this year.
Academy Award. He'll probably get the Pulitzer Prize. And the committee can leave off the Litzer.
Hello, folks.
Gosh. You've got a wonderful color tonight, Harry.
Yes, look at our Harry. Why, one cheek looks like a stand-in for an apple, Harry. Have you been sleeping with your window open for a change?
Oh, no. Yeah, I've been roughing it all week long down there at the National Sportsman Show.
Well, what is that?
The National Sportsman Show is Abercrombie and Fitch's come to life. Once a year, old Mother Nature pulls herself together, gets herself a press agent, and plays a week stand here in New York.
What's down there, Harry?
Oh, everything. It's wonderful this year. Portable trout streams, trained wolves, beavers damming everything.
Don't they like it there?
Quiet, Gracie. Quiet, Gracie. Did you? You see this program, you see them all. You don't know. Did you buy anything at the sportsman show, Harry?
Sure. Yeah. I got some decoy ducks, a bear trap. A skunk call?
A skunk?
Why, surely you've heard of a skunk. The possum with a motive. The potent pussy, as we say in Boston.
Oh.
The... Oh, you called in a writer. Now, that wasn't in there. Well, what does a skunk call sound like, Harry?
Well, I've got it right here, Fred. It's just a little whistle thing.
Oh,
look,
boy.
See?
Looks like a kazoo, doesn't it?
Oh, blow it, Harry.
Go ahead.
Blow it?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, I'll blow it.
Hi, Mob. What do you hear from the folks?
That's all I wanted to know. Harry blows a polecat call, and who shows up?
Oh, yeah? He who laughs last, Alan. Don't forget.
He who laughs last what, Peter?
I'm not telling all I know.
Oh,
I might as well. What's another minute among friends?
Oh, stop quibbling here. Have you been down to the sportsman's show yet, Pete?
Yes, I was there last night, Harry. I hired a guide.
Yeah?
Last year I got lost and came out in Macy's basement.
And still you're no bargain. Macy's basement, there wasn't a bargain.
How was the sportsman show, Peter?
Boy, what a plug for the great outdoors.
Yeah. Did you see the trained wolves, Pete?
Did I? One wolf recognized me from Jackson Heights last winter.
Oh, yes, they'll do it every time. A timber wolf never forgets a blockhead.
If that's wit, Ellen, I'm Gunga Din.
Yeah? Oh, go tell your hair to lie down. There's nothing under your scalp to be afraid of. I'll tell it. Go ahead, get down. There's nothing in there.
Don't it? Oh, stop it, fellas.
If it answered me back, I'd have dropped dead. Oh, what ad-libbing is going on? Oh, it's not, none of that's in here. They're making it up as they go along.
About the show, Pete.
Well, I saw some of those huskies. I always thought huskies were cornflakes.
Well, what are they, Pete?
They're dogs, Harry.
Dogs?
You could have knocked me over.
Now, there's an idea.
Come in here and say that, I dare you.
I'll come in and say it.
How would you like a punch in the nose?
I'd like it.
Okay, here. Oh, how was it?
I liked it.
Okay, let's go.
What was that? People using this studio for a covered alley or something?
Oh, another fight in here shouldn't make any difference.
Oh,
yes, Fred. They probably heard you yelling at Pete and thought it was open house.
Well, why shouldn't I yell at him? Coming in here with those stale jokes every week?
You write them. Don't blame me. I give a joke something.
You give it rigor mortis. Boy, Sploogey from Nope. I'll attend you. You want the cue louder? The sound man can't hear it then. I'll attend to you in a minute, Van Steeden. How about the cue now? Could we have it? Thank you very much. Very much. Come in.
Come in, Happy.
I'm in, Mr. Fox.
All the way in, Happy.
Okay, Mr. Fox.
Now, look, fellas, this isn't an audience participation program.
You're Alan, ain't you?
Yes.
This is Alan, Happy.
Oh, hot tricks, Mr. Alan.
Oh, now, wait a minute. There was a radio or a shambles going on here under the guise of a radio program a short time ago.
Well, radio's my business, eh, Happy?
You're telling him. I know it.
Well, who are you? Either one of you.
You're in a huddle with Tripod Bite, president of the Better Radio Program Builders, Inc.
But what's that got
Alan,
to
Alan, your popularity is slipping.
Yeah?
I can fix this program so you'll be right up there where H.B. Kaltenboom.
Mr. Bike can do it, Mr. Allen.
Well, who says my popularity slipping?
Who won the last poll?
Jack Benny.
Who asked you?
Hey, Jack.
Oh.
Now, Alan, I can fix your radio program. I can fix your radio program the same way I fixed the picture business.
How?
Dishes.
Can't you... You can't give dishes away over the air.
Why not? You see this old radio? It's my own invention. I'm calling it the Alan Radio Set. I'll put it here.
Well, now what happens?
Give me the finish of your program, Alan, and watch this radio.
All right. Okay, town hall tonight. We'll be back again next Wednesday. Good night.
Watch the Alan Radio. You get it? The minute your program is finished, millions of your listeners all over the country get a complete set of dishes.
Wow.
Why, you'll be bigger than Ma Perkins.
Not that. No, I'm not going to turn out to be a prologue to a crockery jackpot.
Okay, so I'm falling back on my pitcher technique.
That's me, eh, Mr. Bite?
Right, Happy.
Where do I come in?
What did I do when dishes quit bringing people into movie theaters?
What?
I put in double features.
You're the one.
Alan, you're looking at the inventor of B pictures.
Well, you ought to get a bigger collar and pull in your hair.
Some double feature with B pictures jammed their movie joints, and a double feature will make your radio program, Alan.
I should put a B picture in there.
No. You put in Happy.
Yeah.
What's Happy?
I'm a B comedian, Alan.
Oh. They finally showed up. One admitted it, huh? You were a B comedian, and you come on the program with me?
Right. Yeah. You're the A comedian, Alan. You step up to the mic, the before, and Happy steps right up with a wheeze. You're a double feature.
I'm going places.
You're the greatest novelty in radio. You're right up there again with Singing Sam.
Well, how does this... how does this jolly nightmare work out?
I'll show you. First, you tell a joke, Alan.
Yes, then what?
Flap.
What's that flap?
Oh, that's the egg dropping.
Oh.
Then Happy steps up to the mic. Bang, a fast gag, Happy.
Okay. I call the cop fighting in because he's the bull in our block.
You get it, Alan?
I get it.
What do you say?
Just one word, boys.
Yeah?
No.
Oh.
Portland.
Peter.
The Merry Max again, ladies and gentlemen. Their song, Hawaiian War Chant. Gentlemen, if you'll give the boys in the orchestra a few seconds to quietly lay down their violins, trombones, and... thank you. And if you fellows will try to be just as quiet as you can...
Quiet!
Fine. Now, we'll all be able to hear every word of the man who is now standing beside me, because every word is important to your well-being. If you please, Harry.
Well, thanks, Fred. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're suffering from the aching muscles or the clogged up feeling in your nose and throat that so often accompany a cold, you find Minute Rub, MinitRub, a new and better way to help bring you quick relief. If you have that aching tightness in your chest muscles, or that painful ache across the back of your neck or shoulders, or that stuffed up feeling in your nose and throat, remember to do this.
Just squeeze some Minute Rub from the tube into the palm of your hand and rub it on briskly. Soon Minute Rub's counter-irritant and pain-relieving actions, working together, help ease the pain and tightness and bring you soothing, welcome comfort. At the same time, Minute Rub gives off effective vapors that help clear away that annoying, stuffed-up feeling in your nose and throat.
And you needn't worry about it harming your clothing or linen either, because it is greaseless and stainless. To use Minute Rub and to experience the prompt, soothing relief it brings is to know why it is winning thousands of new friends from coast to coast. If you want any further testimonial to its quality, remember that Minute Rub has been awarded Good Housekeeping's coveted seal of approval. So get an inexpensive tube of Minute Rub at any drugstore tomorrow and show your family how to get after their colds externally with Minute Rub.
Now the mighty Alan Art plays, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight they present a gruesome tidbit called Murder at the Opera, or It's a Nil Wind That Blows Through Trovatore. Over to you, Peter.
Me, Jeffrey, confound that valet. Me, Jeffrey, come in here to my dressing room.
You called, Mr. Dibbitt?
Yes, an operatic crisis confronts us, Jeffrey.
Crisis, sir?
Here it is, 10 minutes to curtain time, and I, the mighty Torrance Dibbitt, have a frog in my throat.
A blooming toad hopping about your Haddam's apple, I say.
My performance will be ruined. Figaro. My spray, Jeffrey.
Right, sir.
Here you are. Figaro. Much better.
Is that better, sir?
Bravissimo, Jeffrey. I must be in rare voice tonight. The opera is sold out to the Wall Street Men's Club. Brokers are music lovers, Jeffrey.
Is that why you're singing Carmen?
Exactly. It will please the brokers who deal in preferred and common stocks. Remind me to regale Flagstead with that later.
Yes.
Me. Come in.
Hello.
Ah, Suskind, my bass fiddler.
Yeah, Herr Dibbitt.
What brings you here, Sus?
Please, Herr Dibbitt, it is that cadenza in the second act.
Ah, yes. When I sing the duet with your bass fiddle.
Yeah. You are singing. And Suskind is making the fiddle. Boom, boom, boom.
Yes, again. Yes,
well,
I know.
Today, Herr Dibbitt, is my birthday.
Yes?
My wife is listening on the radio, so Suskind would like to enlarge a little the bass part.
One doesn't tinker with Carmen, Suskind.
Bitter, Herr Dibbitt, one extra note. So, boom, 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 boom.
No, Suskind.
About one little bum. Who will notice it? It is Suskind's birthday.
One bum too many can ruin this opera.
One bum too many already ruins the opera. I'm quoting Suskind. Oh, we did it.
Why, that detestable malformed doghouse spanker.
It's 5 minutes to curtain time, sir.
Gad, I'm playing Escamillo, the Toreador. Me.
You better start putting on your Toreador costumes.
Yes, 5 minutes to curtain time. Help me on with these red silk breeches, Jeffrey.
Righto, sir.
Upsy daisy, Paunchy.
Oh, thank you, Jeffrey. How do they look?
Your midriff overflows a bit, sir. The tights appear a bit over-snug.
Nonsense, Jeffrey. Dibbitt still moves with the fluid grace of a startled gazelle. Oh, Carmen, mi amore, I bow to you. Good heavens, Jeffrey, what was that?
The right and left sides of your tights are...
Sir. Gad, a never calamity. Tonight, Escamillo confronts the bull wearing the cape around his waist.
This must be the call boy.
I'd better hurry, my doublet.
Which one of you hams is Torrance Dibbitt?
I am Dibbitt. Me.
Hiya, Red Pants. Listen, I'm Phineas Carson, president of the Wall Street Men's Club.
Oh, you're the chap who bought out the opera for the brokers tonight?
Yeah, that's about a musical show. Oh, boy, that girl, that music. Oh, that tiger. Oh, that tiger. That's your hit song, huh?
Why, that primitive trash.
Yeah.
Tonight, Gibbet is singing Carmen, Bizet's immortal masterpiece.
So the Carmen. Oh, yeah, yeah. She'll be coming round about.
This is not a hillbilly revival.
Oh, ain't this hell's a papa?
This is the Metropolitan. Listen, me.
Oh, that chicken speculator must have given me the works. I don't like opera.
You will tonight, Mr. Carson. Dibbet is singing the Toreador song.
Well, is it in English?
No.
Well, how do I know what's going on?
If you do not understand the opera Carmen, you can get a libretto, a translation in the lobby.
Okay, but I never need a libretto at Minsky's.
What are Minsky's, Jeffrey?
Minsky's is simply the opera gone native, sir.
Torres, why aren't you on the stage?
Ah, Batty Kosofsky, my beloved impresario.
Yes, we'll save your eulogies, Torres. The overture is on now.
And Dibbet is ready. Jeffrey, my cape, my rapier.
Rochester!
Now, Torres, listen. You must sing your best for our Wall Street audience now, won't you, Torres?
My singing will thrill those brokers like a Republican landslide.
Yes.
Lean on to the stage. Where is my Carmen, Madam Thumpet?
Yes, I've ready, Torrance.
Good, Thumpet.
Now, Torrance, the overture's almost over. Now, you'll remember the change in the score, won't you, Torrance?
I know, Batty. I'm opening with Toreador.
Yes.
And for heaven's sake, Torrance, be more careful of your embracing scene tonight.
Yes, La Thumpet. Was my amour too viril last performance?
It was vile. You squeezed all the air out of my muscles.
So sorry.
Everybody on stage. Everybody
fire
on stage now.
Quiet. Curtain. Carmen, mi amore. Alla presta, tutti frutti, allegro, con brio, e glanda, scaloppini, alla toreador, corona. Fortissimo, toreador, grandissimo, moltissimo, bingo. Toreadoro, oro, tondo, snoro, voliero, estaro, allegro, elijo.
Get me someone!
Bad Thumpet has swooned! Bring down the curtain!
Good heavens, Torrance, what happened to La Thumpet?
I don't know, Batty, I'll feel her pulse.
Well?
La Thumpet is dead.
Dead? This is terrible. I paid her in advance for tonight's performance.
The shock might have done it, Batty. But the show must go on.
Yes, of course. Where is La Fumpet's understudy? The number two Carmen.
Here
is...
I am.
Ah, Madam Shrillo. You must carry on.
Me.
Oh, sorry, she is ready. You are ready, La Shrillo.
See. Si.
Curtain. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of Wall Street. It grieves me to have to tell you that Madame Thumpet is dead. However, I am still alive and will continue to sing.
Oh.
Out of respect to the memory of the late Madame Thumpet, I shall sing Toreador a half tone lower.
Get on with the show, eh?
Who is that? I can't see with these footlights.
It's me, Carson, the stockbroker. I'm here in the front row. Bring her in, the girl. Say, where's Sally?
Quiet, Mr. Carson. This is the opera, you know, professional curtsy.
Well, okay, let's go.
Music, maestro, please. Pasquale non troppi pasti fazzula spumoni. Canto la forma presta la genzi, beri, beri. Tori adoro, linguini in adoro, sombrero biando. Good heavens, Shrillo has fainted. Bring down the curtain.
Good grief, what's going on here, Torrance?
Wait, I shall feel her pulse, Batty. Oh, gad.
Shrillo dead, too?
Yes, she was La Fumpet's understudy.
She has overdone it.
Well, there is foul play here. I'm stopping this opera.
Nonsense. It's merely a coincidence. The show must go on, Batty. Who is the understudy's understudy?
Madame Plateau, the French prima donna.
Plateau.
Oui, this is my big chance. I will kill them.
Yes. Or vice versa, madam. Largo grandissimi, fuerto prestissimi, Toscanini. Toriadoro, the chick dancer, is a baroro.
Catch me!
Flatto has fainted. The curtain, Batty.
Now see here, Torrance. This is the last straw. I say this is murder, and I've brought this policeman to investigate.
Yes, yes. What's going on here? What's the trouble?
This opera has started three times, officer.
And every time the curtain goes up, leave that there, officer. Every time I start to sing. Officer, every time this curtain goes up and I start to sing, my Carmen drops dead.
Three prima donnas in a row, officer. I suspect foul play.
I'll examine the bodies.
Yes, do that.
Thunder and banshees.
What, officer?
Look at all three forests.
Bullet holes.
Right.
But we didn't hear any shots.
There must have been a silencer on the gun. Them bullets came from the audience.
That is ridiculous. The house is sold out tonight to Wall Street brokers.
Wait. One of them might have been trying to commit suicide. He's probably missing himself.
What are we going to do?
You're going to start singing again, Dibbitt, and I'm going to catch the murderer.
But all my prima donnas are dead. Who will play Carmen?
I will.
Oh, my aunt.
Give me that shawl. Ring up the curtain, Batty.
All right. I'll pull up the curtain and hide.
Now, you keep singing, Dibbitt, till I spot the guy with that gun.
Very good, officer. Curtain. Alla di presto il formo vaselino.
Yes, so what?
Gamza la merto.
Can the Mussolini small talk, Dibbitt? Give us the song.
Toriadoro, Toriadoro.
Wait a minute. Stop the music, Professor.
You've got a clue.
And how? Ushers, grab that little guy in the front row. Bring him up them steps.
Hey, quit following me. Let me go. I ain't done nothing.
Yes, officer. This is Mr. Carson.
Oh.
The broker who arranged this opera party tonight.
This mass murder, you mean?
Why, you can't arrest me, copper. I'm an innocent man.
Oh, yeah? What are you doing with that gat in your hand, Stu? Playing Hopalong Cassidy?
Is that a gun in your hand, Mr. Carson?
Well, I think it's... Where?
Right
there. Oh, yeah.
Let me see that rod, Lush. Just as I thought. Three cartridges is missing.
Hey, I've been robbed.
Quit stalling, Stu. You fired them shots.
Well, yeah, okay.
I thought so.
Well, I was trying to kill Dibbitt, but I'm cockeyed. I kept shooting the people next to him.
But why kill me and plunge the music-loving masses into deep mourning?
It was an anti-Wall Street propaganda that you was giving up.
Anti-Wall Street? Why, you're crazy. I was merely singing the Toriador song. Toriador.
Toriador, don't kid me, Dibbitt. I got the translation of that right here. It's anti-Wall Street propaganda. Listen to this. I'll get that bull. I'm out to get that bull.
Well, why the rumpus?
Well, I've been a bull in Wall Street all of my life. And us bulls has got to stick together. Why, we got enough trouble with you-know-who without the other.
But I don't sing to Carmen about Wall Street bulls. I kill a real messed up.
Well, nobody can kill any kind of a bull in front of Phineas Carson and get away with it.
You may change your slogan when this uniform bull here takes you to the electric chair.
Yeah, Dibbitt is right, Stu. Yeah. He'll turn on that current. 80 volts.
80.
90. 100. 110. When it reaches 120, you're gone.
In at 80 and out at 120. Yoo-hoo! I'll die happy.
Happy?
Yeah. As a Wall Street bull, I'll be getting out at the high.
Before our bird's eye preview of next week's cantata, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to leave you with this one thought. Your increasing friendliness toward our famous products is making more and more of these Wednesdays together possible. We are all very grateful for such substantial appreciation, and we do hope you'll continue to remember...
Ipana toothpaste for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health.
Ipana, Sal Hepatica.
Thank you, Harry. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, next Wednesday evening, Town Hall Tonight brings you stock market advice.
Hold that American can for a turn-in at the automobile show.
Your song of the week.
Ireland must be heaven, cause my father came from there.
That's, my mother came from there, isn't it?
My old lady missed the boat.
Oh. People you didn't expect to meet.
The Umbrella Man in person. Don't run for cover when he reigns as guest star. He'll tickle your ribs that Wednesday.
And music.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.